You are listening to a recording of a sermon delivered at St. Rose Community Church. To learn more about our church, please visit our website at www.sdrosecc.org.
Let me invite you to open to Joshua chapter 1. If you need a copy of God's Word, just lift up your hand. Mr. Wayne and Christian will be walking down the aisles if you need a copy of God's Word. As you can tell, we're not in 1 Corinthians this morning, as we've been journeying through Corinthians since last August, so coming up on a year now. But before we dive in to what the Lord has to say to us in the book of Joshua, I just want to extend an invitation to everyone in this room. Maybe you walk through the doors of our church this morning, and you're just burdened by the responsibilities of your life, whether that be your job, your family, or your ministry. Maybe you walk through the doors of our church and you're struggling with grief or depression. Maybe you're fighting with sin daily and it seems to just keep defeating you. Maybe you walk through the doors of our church and you're exhausted from a week at youth camp. Wherever you find yourself this morning, I just want to invite you, wherever you are, to slow down, and I want you to look upon the living and active words of God that can bring you rest, encouragement, and in salvation to your souls. If you remember back with me a few weeks ago at this point, Jordan led us through Numbers 14. And in Numbers chapter 14, we saw the people of Israel on the outskirts of the Promised Land. But there was an issue. Spies reported that the Promised Land was filled with enemies. And at the sound of this, the people of Israel begin to lose faith. They begin to grumble, they begin to complain, they begin to forget what God had done for them. But there was four faithful men who reminded the people of Israel of what God had done and what God will always continue to do, and that is be faithful to his promises. In Joshua chapter 1 this morning, we find the people of Israel once again on the outskirts of the Promised Land, about to enter in, but they're in the midst of grief because they have a new leader. But we still see God's faithfulness to them. I want you to look down at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. It says this. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning, knowing that you are the one and only God who does not leave us or forsake us if we are in you. I pray that this morning, Lord, that you would do miracles in the hearts of every person in this room. Strengthen them, convict them, encourage them with your word. I pray this morning that it would all be about what you do and how we just have to accept what you do. I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified. Help us to see you clearly, Christ clearly in this text. We praise in your name. Amen. I want you to direct your eyes to verse 1 of our passage. It says, after the death of Moses. This is the same Moses that led the people of Egypt, that led the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. The same Moses who parted the Red Sea, the same Moses who interceded for the people of God when they needed grace, and the same Moses who was in the wilderness with the Israelites for 40 years. That Moses is dead. Can you imagine the pain, the grief that the people of Israel must have felt? Their intercessor, their leader, their example of how to follow God was gone. This text tells us that Joshua was Moses' assistant. Imagine the grief, the pain that Joshua felt. No doubt, he grieved for his leader, his friend. I think everyone in this room knows the pain of loss, whether that be someone that you lost or someone that you know affected by grief. We know this pain. This is an entire nation grieving for Moses. Joshua is grieving for Moses. And I think the question that we have to ask ourselves is, what is going to happen to Israel now that Moses is dead? I want you to look back at verse 1 because it gives us some context about what Moses' role really was. Verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. The nation of Israel was not lost without Moses because Moses wasn't the leader of Israel. He was a servant of the true leader, the true head of the nation of Israel, which is God. God is the one who led the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. God is the one who parted the Red Sea. God is the one that gave grace when the people didn't deserve it. And God is the one who led the people of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. And God is going to ensure that his people are not lost without Moses. Look back at verses 1 and 2 together. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving them, to the people of Israel. Joshua was next in line to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. But this isn't the first time Joshua's hearing this. He shouldn't be surprised by this because he actually hears it from the mouth of Moses right before Moses dies in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 7. Moses says to him, then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all of Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them into possession of it. Joshua heard from Moses' own mouth that he would be the one to lead the people. And now what we see the Lord calling Joshua to do in verse 2 is get up and take action. But in order for Joshua and the nation of Israel to succeed in entering the promised land, defeating the enemies that were there, they needed some reminders that we see the Lord give Joshua in verses 3 through 9. But I want you to know that these reminders that we see in this text are not just for Joshua and Israel, but dear Christian, they are also for you. So what we're going to do this morning is look at three reminders that the Lord gives to Joshua. We'll focus on what that meant for them at the time, and then we'll focus on how that applies to us. So look down at verses 3 through 5. Every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Reminder number one that we can see from this text is, Joshua, remember, the Lord will not leave you or forsake you. Joshua, remember, the Lord will not leave you or forsake you. Joshua must have been intimidated by this task. Certainly, there's fear in this moment, right? Of failure, of being defeated, of the nation of Israel turning against his leading. But God, in his grace, gives Joshua a tangible reminder he can hold on to as he goes to accomplish what the Lord commanded him to do. I want you to look down at verses 3 and 4. Every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From this wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, toward the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. What the Lord does in verse 4 is he states the boundaries of the promised land. And he tells Joshua that every single place your foot touches in these boundaries, I've given you victory in every place. Before he's even entered into the land, he's been given victory. But I want you to look at verse 3 and what the Lord caveats this verse with, as if that isn't enough. He says, just as I promise to Moses. Just as I was faithful to my promise to Moses, I will be faithful to you, Joshua. Everywhere you walk, I've given it to you. Look at verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Here's this language again. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. The words that the Lord speaks over Joshua here are telling. Because throughout the land, there are people to stand against Joshua and the nation of Israel. People will stand before him all the days of his life. And we have enemies throughout the land, like Jericho, AI, which is not artificial intelligence, it's a nation, Gibeon, and many, many more. But the Lord is the one who will give the victory to the people of Israel, no matter what stood in their way. In Joshua 6, the Lord crumbles the walls of Jericho. In Joshua 8, the Lord defeats AI. He needs to do that now. In Joshua 10, we see the Lord make the sun stand still until Gibeon defeats a battle, or until Israel defeats Gibeon at a battle. Like, literally makes the sun stand still. And all of those victories go back to the promise we see at the end of verse 5. I will not leave you or forsake you. God is reminding Joshua and the nation of Israel that he is the one that never fails. In fact, the Lord states this again to Joshua in chapter 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Don't be frightened, don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In order for Joshua and the nation of Israel to take the promised land and be successful, they needed to remember that God is the one who would give them the victory and would not leave them or forsake them. But if Israel were to forget this, if they were to chase after other things, there were consequences. And we see this in Joshua 7. I want you to look down, or look up on the screen, at Joshua 7, verses 11 through 13. This is the Lord speaking to Joshua, and this is what he tells him. Israel's sin, they've transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They've taken some devoted things. So this is what Israel's done. They've taken devoted things, and the Lord says, this is what the Lord says, I will be with you no more, unless you destroy the devoted things from among you. And God calls them to repent of this. If Israel wanted any chances of succeeding, they needed to keep the law that God commanded them. They couldn't expect to live the way they wanted, have victory, and have God's presence. His presence is with his people who love him and keep his commandments. So, we see how this applies to Israel, right? If they are with the Lord, if they keep his commandments, God will not leave them or forsake them, and it's God's presence that guarantees their victory. I want you to listen to the words of Joshua at the end of his life in chapter 23, where this is what Joshua is telling the people of Israel that God has done all throughout their days. Verse 9, for the Lord has driven out before you great and strong nations. As for you, no man has been able to stand before you to this day. That sounds familiar. One man of you puts to flight 1,000, since it is the Lord your God who fights for you, just as he promised. Be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. God's presence with Israel is the reason they have any chance of success. We see how that reminder applies to Joshua, right? Now, what's the takeaway for us? What do we do with this? Takeaway number one, Christian, remember, the Lord will not leave you or forsake you. Christian, remember, the Lord will not leave you or forsake you. I want you to look at verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Dear Christian in the room, just as the Lord was with Moses and he was with Joshua, so he will be with you. If you are in Christ, the Lord will not leave you or forsake you. No matter what trials you're facing at this moment, whether that be grief, depression, anxiety, loneliness, lacking love for God, fearing what the future holds, he will not leave you in the midst of that difficulty. Jesus promises he'll be with us always in Matthew 28, verse 20. Behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Know and rest in this reality this morning, that every single step that you take in this life is not done alone. The God of this universe is walking with you. His presence is with you. And that is true regardless if you can emotionally attest to it or not. It's true. The application of Joshua and Israel is that God's presence is the reason they can have any victory. But my brother and sister, the victory that you have is secured. Sin cannot keep you enslaved any longer. You know, you don't have to fear death any longer. You don't have to fear tomorrow because Jesus has set you free from sin. He's defeated death and he holds tomorrow in his hands. That same Jesus promises to never leave you or forsake you. But this reminder is so necessary because daily we're going to forget it. Daily we're tempted to turn to things that make us forget it, or we're tempted to go back into sin. We're in situations that make it feel like we're alone. And if we don't remind ourselves that Jesus will never leave us or forsake us, we'll begin to hope in ourselves or hope in other people to do what only God can do. If you try to fight sin in your own strength, you're going to fail. If we try to do this church plant in our own strength, we're going to fail. Our success and our fight over sin and our ability to plant a church and hope in life and death is found only in Jesus, and he promises to never leave us or forsake us. Look at verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land I swore to their fathers to give them. Second reminder we can see for Joshua in this text is Joshua, remember to be strong and courageous. The task that stood before Joshua required him to be strong and courageous. In fact, the Lord emphasizes this to Joshua 3 times at the beginning of verse 7 and 9. Only be strong and very courageous. And then verse 9 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Fear and discouragement were certainly ahead of Joshua and Israel as they went in to inherit the land. And we see moments of weakness and discouragement for Joshua. I want you to listen to Joshua chapter 7, verses 6 through 8. This is after Israel's sin, and this is Joshua's response to that. Then Joshua tore his clothes. He fell on the earth with his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. And he said, he and all the elders, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all? To give us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? We would have been content to dwell beyond the Jordan. Lord, what can I say when Israel has turned their backs before their enemies? Courage and strength were necessary because the task was difficult. And while we see moments of weakness and dismay, we also see moments of strength, courage, and remembrance of what the Lord told Joshua. I want you to listen to Joshua chapter 10, verse 25. Joshua said to them, being Israel, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, be strong and courageous, for thus the Lord will do to all the enemies against whom you stand. If the people were to let fear, weakness drive them, there would be no action. If Joshua were to let fear rule him, he wouldn't be able to lead the people to do what God had commanded him. But I want you to notice that this strength and courage is not found in Joshua's ability or Israel's ability, but rather it's a deep dependence and reliance on the strength and courage of God. Listen to Joshua 10, verse 42. Joshua captured all these kings in their land at one time. But why? Because the Lord, the God of Israel, fought for Israel. Israel's ability to win a battle isn't even found in them, because it can't be owed to them, because God's the one that's doing it. Their strength and courage wasn't in their armies. It wasn't in their leader, Joshua. It was in the character of God, who is strong and courageous. I want you to look with me at Joshua 24, and I want you to see all that God is doing in this passage. Joshua 24, starting in verse 6. Listen to what the Lord says. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. The Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea, and when they cried to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and made the sea come upon them and cover them. Your eyes saw what I did in Egypt, and you lived in the wilderness a long time. Then I brought you out of the land of the Amorites, who lived on the other side of the Jordan. They fought with you. I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel. He sent and invited Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you, but I would not listen to Balaam. Indeed, he blessed you. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the leaders of Jericho fought against you. And also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, the Luddites. I gave them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out before you, two kings of the Amorites. Listen to this. It was not by your sword or bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, cities that you had not built, and you dwell in them. You eat fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. Israel, or Joshua, they haven't done anything. God didn't need Israel or Joshua to be strong and courageous. God is already strong. He's already courageous. Rather, what God's calling Joshua to do is remember the strength of his God and trust in him. That's the only way they can succeed in entering the promised land and taking it. Now, you see that applies to the Joshua. Now, how does that apply to us? Takeaway number two. Christian, remember to be strong and courageous. Why do we need to be strong and courageous? Daily, you face situations that require you to be strong and courageous. You need strength and courage to stand on the truth of God's word in the midst of a world that hates truth. You need strength and courage to go through another day of grief. You need strength and courage to share the gospel with your coworkers. You need strength and courage to fight against the sinful temptations of your flesh. But just as Joshua and Israel did not rely on their own strength, you also do not. I want you to listen to the words of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. This is what the Lord has equipped every single believer with. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, of love, and self-control. The Lord has equipped you with the means to be strong and courageous. You have, abiding within you, the strength, power, and courage of God Almighty. But that doesn't mean you're going to stop being weak and fearing. I want you to listen to the words of Paul. This is what Drew read earlier in the songs that we sang. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10 says this. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Dear Christian, your inability, your lack of strength, your fear is a good thing. Because the reality is that you're never going to be strong or courageous enough. But I want you to hold fast, because there was someone who was already strong and courageous on your behalf. He showed that strength and courage when he sweat blood in a garden. He showed the strength and courage when he walked up the road to Calvary with the cross on his shoulders. And he showed strength and courage when he was nailed to the tree. The strength and courage you so desperately need is found in our Savior Jesus. So, brother and sister, be strong and courageous. Only be strong and courageous, and know and rest that this strength and courage is found in Jesus. Jesus says to you in verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for you." I know you're not strong enough. I know you can't beat that sin by yourself. I know that you're scared of what will happen if that person passes away. I know you're scared of what life is going to look like if the church plant happens. But in your weakness, my grace is sufficient for you. Rest this morning. All you need is in Christ. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I want you to look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 through 8 now. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Last reminder we can see for Joshua in this text is reminder number 3. Joshua, remember to meditate on God's word and not turn from it. Joshua, remember to meditate on God's word and not turn from it. All the reminders the Lord gives to Joshua find its culmination here. How can Joshua remember that the Lord will not leave him or forsake him? How can Joshua remember to be strong and courageous? The reminders Joshua needed were found in the words that the Lord gave to Moses. Now, Joshua didn't have Genesis to Revelation like we have, but what he did have was Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, which were written by Moses. And if Joshua and Israel wanted to succeed in taking the promised land, they needed to obey what God had commanded Moses to write. I want you to look at verses 7 and 8 again, and I want you to notice the instructions that the Lord gives to Joshua, and then I want you to notice what the result of following those instructions are. Joshua, the Lord says to Joshua, be careful to do all that I've written. Don't turn from it to the right hand or the left. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Meditate on it. Then what's the result of obeying that? They're prosperous, and they have good success. I want you to listen to what the Lord commanded Moses to do in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and gates. Joshua and Israel, they're not being told something new in these verses, but rather God's telling them of this good and prosperous way he has for them. They need to keep his word so they can succeed. If they don't, there are consequences. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 1, Achan takes some devoted things. And then what happens is the anger of the Lord burns against him and burns against Israel. And this is when we heard earlier in the sermon that the Lord says, I can be with you no longer unless you repent and turn. If Israel wanted to succeed, they had to follow the commandments the Lord had said. And they also needed a leader who would lead them to meditate on the principles that God had commanded them. I want you to listen to what Joshua faithfully did for Israel in Joshua chapter 8, verses 34 and 35. Afterward, this is Joshua, what he did. Afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse, according to that which is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded that Joshua did not read before the assemblies of Israel, the women, the little ones, and the sojourners who lived among them. Let me just say this. Faithful, godly leaders do not withhold any part of the word of God from the people of God, but rather they reveal everything that the Lord has said and done. This is what the Lord's calling Joshua to do. Remember, I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous in my strength. Meditate on my word and teach these things to my people so they succeed and they prosper. So we see how this applies to Joshua and the nation of Israel. What's the takeaway for us? Takeaway number three, final takeaway. Christian, remember to meditate on God's word and not turn from it. Christian, remember to meditate on God's word and not turn from it. I want you to look at verse 8 again in Joshua chapter 1. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so you may be very careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." How do you, brother and sister, remember that God will not leave you when you fail? How do you remember to be strong and courageous when you're in the midst of a difficult marriage? You meditate on God's word day and night. And this is more than just reading the Bible out of an obligation, dear Christian. Meditating on God's word, yes, it's looking at the words and trying to understand what they mean, but meditation is the act of passionate seeking, searching for the God who wrote the words on the page because you want to know him more. But you got to fight to do that because other things want you to meditate on that. Other things are going to grab at your attention. You're tempted to turn to your sinful ways. I want you to listen to what Jesus says about those who keep his commandments and those who do not. John 14 says, "Jesus answered him, 'If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we'll come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but my Father's who sent me.'" Meditate, dear Christian. Look in the Bible and see that God will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous in the strength of the Lord. Don't turn from it. I want you to look at the end of verse 8. It says, "For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Now, this prosperity and good success, it's not what you think. The word of God is not a tool for your personal success. It's not a fortune cookie for your problems. It's not a magic way to make money. Rather, this is the living and active word of God where he reveals to us his character and the way we need to glorify him. And I'm sure we can all count for countless ways that the word of God has been abused to push agendas. But I just want to warn everyone in this room, be careful with how you read the Bible. Don't read it for your personal success, whether that be a relationship that you want. It has to be because you want to know and see God more clearly. The prosperity and good success for the nation of Israel in keeping God's commandments was that they can defeat all the enemies of the promised land and enter in. The prosperity and good success for you and our church is in the mission of preaching and teaching and proclaiming Christ crucified. If we want to be successful in that mission, we got to remember these three things. Each week we get dismissed with Matthew 28, 19 through 20. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." If we want to be successful in this mission, we've got to remember that Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. We must remember to be strong and courageous, and we must remember to meditate on his word and not turn from it. Dear St. Rose Community Church, these three reminders are the key to our success in the mission of God. If you want to make Christ known in St. Rose, Destrehan, Laplace, Uptown, some other bayou out there that we don't know about, we have to be united around these three things. Diligent and reminding one another when we forget. And it's easy to let disunity sink in. But the mission at hand is not about our preferences, our comforts. It's about preaching Jesus alone. So let's do that together. God will never leave you or forsake you. God is strong and courageous. God's given us his word. Let's meditate on it and not turn from it. Before we close, I want to speak to the unbeliever in the room, because this was mainly a sermon to remind the Christian. And the fact of the matter is, there's nothing for you to remember this morning because God has forsaken you. You can't be strong and courageous in your own strength, and you don't want to meditate on his word. I want you to listen to what Joshua says in Joshua 24, 14 through 15. Joshua's words at the end of his life says this: "Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river in Egypt. Serve the Lord. Choose this day whom you will serve." Everyone in this room is serving someone. Are you serving yourself, your job, your personal successes, your sexual wants and desires? The Bible tells us what the result is of serving anyone but the Lord. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The call for you this morning is to choose this day whom you will serve. Joshua called for Israel to put away the old gods that they served. And I beg of you this morning to put that away, repent of it, turn to Jesus. This world has countless momentary pleasures that promise it's going to satisfy, but it won't. The only thing that will satisfy is Jesus. The penalty for enjoying these things now is too high because it's death. But I want you to look at the second half of Romans 6:23. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus took the penalty of you serving other things and went to the cross and died the death you should have deserved. And he rose again so that you can have the opportunity to serve him. He offers you this morning his righteousness. I pray that you would repent and accept so that you can remember that God won't leave you or forsake you, so that you can remember to be strong and courageous, and then you would want to meditate on his word and not turn from it. Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for what you have showed us in this text. And Lord, it's just so evidently clear that we can't do anything. It's only by your strength and power. It's only by your might. I pray that every Christian in this room would rest in the fact that you don't leave us or forsake us, that you would help us rest in your strength and courage. Help us to meditate on your word. Help us to respond in song as we sing, Lord. And I pray that the unbeliever in the room would contemplate whom they serve and repent and believe. We pray this in your name. Amen.